WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth answering questions and listening to comments from members of the Senate Armed Services Committee, including ranking member Senator Jack Reed, who told the former Fox News host,
"Unfortunately, you lack the character and composure and competence to hold the position of Secretary of Defense."
Hegseth saying he would be an agent of change for President Trump if nominated.
"It's time to give someone with dust on his boots the helm. A change agent. Someone with no vested interest in certain companies or specific programs or approved narratives."
Hegseth is a combat veteran who served in the National Guard. Asked directly about sexual assault allegations against him during his confirmation hearing, he dismissed that as a smear campaign, says he's been unfairly attacked. High winds are back in Southern California, but firefighters are making progress over some of the biggest wildfires around L.A. The Eaton Fire is now 35% contained. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Average gasoline prices in Wisconsin have fallen 3.9 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $2.79 a gallon today, according to Gas Buddy's survey of 3,112 stations in Wisconsin. Prices in Wisconsin are 0.8 cents per gallon higher than a month ago and stand 3.2 cents per gallon higher than a year ago. According to Gas Buddy price reports, the cheapest station in Wisconsin was priced at $2.54 a gallon yesterday, while the most expensive was $3.19 a gallon, a difference of 65 cents per gallon. The national average price of gasoline has fallen 1.1 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $3.02 a gallon today. The national average is up 0.9 cents per gallon from a month ago and stands 3.2 cents per gallon lower than a year ago, according to Gas Buddy data compiled from more than 11 million weekly price reports covering over 150,000 gas stations across the country. The national average price of diesel has increased 3.7 cents in the last week and stands at $3.52 per gallon. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, said, quote, "While gas prices haven't shifted significantly yet, oil prices have climbed to their highest level since October, driven by President Biden's new sanctions on so-called dark vessels, which have slowed countries like Iran's ability to sell oil. This could soon lead to more noticeable increases in gas prices. Seasonally weak demand may help soften the impact of any increases for now, but with refinery maintenance season just weeks away, when refiners typically reduce gasoline production, motorists should be prepared for the spring rally to kick off." For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Badgers could make history tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team has been around since 1898. And in that time, only three head coaches, Bud Forrester, Doc Meanwell, and Bull Ryan, had 200 or more career victories. If the Badgers beat Ohio State tonight at the Kohl Center, head coach Greg Gard would become the fourth. Gard's overall record stands at 199 and 110. Just one win away from 200, the Badgers are back in the top 25, ranked 24th in the nation. In the NFL, the Minnesota Vikings eliminated from the playoffs after losing to the Rams 27-9 on Monday Night Football. In Green Bay, a frustrated Tucker Kraft was asked what will he remember about this Packers season as he cleaned out his locker.
"We couldn't finish. That's what I think of this team. We're all sitting in here in this locker room with frowns on our faces, people packing their ready to go home. Yeah. People talking about the off-season vacations, and we should be getting ready to play the next game in the postseason. That's my opinion on it."
That's Packers tight end Tucker Kraft. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Super sunny but feeling frigid cold. High temperatures will reach the mid-teens, but with feisty winds out of the northwest gusting up to 15 miles per hour, it's really going to be feeling like highs closer to 5 below. We've got another cold night on tap tonight before a warm-up starts tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlow. Currently, it's 4.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
"I just want to say that friendship is about heart.
heart, and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I drew my brother's name one year, and we went to the mall, and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Our friend and colleague, Mr. Luke Mathers, will be in with a Tuesday Tangent with Lukester. What's grinding his gears? And more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. We're going to talk about Wisconsin Supreme Court race. April 1st, it's going to be here very, very quickly.
Yeah.
The ads will probably start for sure next month, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, it's, I would say by the end of the month, we'll see some preliminary ads.
And then we're going to be swamped for weeks and weeks and weeks. But we're going to talk about at least one of the candidates today. After the 11:30 news, we'll do an update on the world's worst beer cheese, broccoli cheese soup ever. And then we will wrap it up, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the Lego edition. Mm-hmm. I found just for you, Greg Bach.
Oh, thank you, Jared.
He's our resident Lego fan.
I'm a AFOL, adult fan of Lego.
AFOL.
That's actually a thing. I didn't make it up.
I believe you.
Thank you.
Yes. Talking, though, first, we will start talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Brad Schimmel, of course, is running against Susan Crawford.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Schimmel has prioritized a number of conservative issues throughout this career. He is currently a judge on the Waukesha County Circuit Court, a gift to him from Scott Walker, who appointed him after Walker lost his bid for re-election because he was Walker's attorney general. And then again, Walker appointed him to the Waukesha County Circuit Court. Nice parting gift.
Yeah.
Over the course of his career, Brad Schimmel joined Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, stellar human being with spotless record, Ken Paxton. Schimmel joined with Ken Paxton to repeal the Affordable Care Act. He defended the GOP-controlled legislature's gerrymandered maps like those, opposed gun safety initiatives, and Brad Schimmel's also gone to events at Mar-a-Lago with President-elect Trump. He's also been a guest at Donald Trump rallies. As recently as January 2nd, Brad Schimmel defended the January 6th attackers at the U.S. Capitol, saying they have been treated unfairly by the court system.
They were treated unfairly because apparently where they did the crime, they shouldn't have been tried.
Yeah, he says another piece of the lawfare manipulation. They like that word, the lawfare word. They utilize jurisdictions that are overwhelmingly to the left in terms of the voters. I've never been accused of a crime, at least as of today. I'm assuming where you crime is where you have to stand trial.
Yeah.
Isn't that how it works?
I mean, yeah. If I rob a bank in like on the east side of Milwaukee, I'm not going to be tried in Idaho. I don't know why they wanted them to be tried. Like Brad Schimmel's, take all the other things that you just mentioned, that laundry list of scummy behavior. The January 6th topic for me and him, for me regarding him, is especially egregious and disgusting because he just openly says, well, it's not that big of a deal. They wouldn't have gotten a fair trial. The liberals, it's all the liberals' faults. It's always the liberal because they got tried in a liberal city. Yeah, that's how the law works, bro.
But, and I'm up for jury duty next month.
Yeah, you are.
In Milwaukee.
So jealous.
They don't, again, I've never been called, I was called for jury duty once as an alternate, so yeah. I never had to go through this. Now I'm actually called for jury duty. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming they don't ask you your political affiliation, do they?
You're not going to be asked any questions until you get interviewed by the prosecutor.
But can they ask me that?
Ask whatever they want.
They can ask how I voted?
I mean, I don't know. I've only been on a jury once, and I was assuming that I was going to be kicked off just because I was a comic and I'm on social media and whatever. And they took me. I was.
They did.
Yeah, I was so happy. I loved it.
Was it interesting,
Jane? So interesting. They told us at the beginning, this is not going to be like Law and Order. This is going to be slower moving. We're going to be, it's not as exciting.
Sure.
It was so exciting. It was really a definition of how the law is supposed to work in the face of evidence, shadow of a doubt, 12 people coming together and having an honest, frank discussion about the evidence, the people, their biases. It was really very interesting.
I bet it was.
But they'll try to find a way to, if they don't like the cut of your jib, they'll find a way to kick you off. I mean, like someone like me, I'm kind of like facial, like kind of their dream. They have no idea what this votes for.
You could be anything.
Exactly.
You could be anything.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm very interested to see how I personally don't feel like you're going to last long. You work in media on radio for an opinion based radio show.
Yeah, I highly expect I'll get bumped.
Exactly.
I really do.
But his whole notion, his whole thing, his milieu that he's doing is so, it's like Pete Hegseth right now in Confirmation. He's openly he's openly being partisan in what's supposed to be a nonpartisan race.
And don't tell me that, because remember all the things about Janet Protasiewicz they didn't like?
Oh yeah.
You know, she didn't like the gerrymandered maps. She had mentioned that she was pro a woman's right to choose, and they tried to use that against her. Mm-hmm. Here is Schimmel saying he loves gerrymandered maps. Yep. Do you think that's going to come up?
Yeah,
as being a problem.
Do you think he'll recuse himself? That's a no.
That would be no. 855-752-4842. If you would like to join our discussion, Mark from Prairie du Sac is on the line. Good morning, Mark. What do you think about this Wisconsin Supreme Court race?
Well, I think, that little Mr. Schimmel is unqualified. As you just brought up the case of that, well, you should face your charges and where you committed the crime. Well, when Scott Jensen committed the whole caucus scandal thing, he committed that crime in Dane County and was found guilty in Dane County of 3 felonies. But no, that was unfair. They were just tried in Dane County. They had to take him to the more friendly, Waukesha County, where he got what misdemeanor charges, where he pleaded no contest. So now that SOB is making a six-figure salary working as a lobbyist, which he couldn't have done if Bradley hadn't done that little fave for him. And it is just disgusting. As far as being on juries, I got denied being on a jury because it was a traffic case, and it's over 1970. My dad was injured by a drunk driver in a mm-hmm. traffic accident.
Yeah.
And I brought that up, and that they didn't want to take me, even though it was 40 years since,
wow.
40 years since the incident. And I could have, and it's just, your duty as a juror to put stuff aside like that, but they wouldn't take me as a juror.
They can't take a chance. They can't take a chance.
Yeah, and I guess, thank you, Mark. I really appreciate it, and thank you always for listening. I highly expect I'll get bumped.
Yeah,
I really do. Just because I'm in the job that I'm in.
Yeah. The other thing, too, he's been saying is that the election, it's something that only liberals would do. Only liberals would steal elections. Only liberals would act like this. Only liberals would be terrible. It's the Republicans who have to come forward, Jane, and straighten out America.
Apparently so.
Because it's just a mess right now.
The other thing that really gets me.
Burns your grits?
Burns my grits. When Brad Schimmel was Wisconsin's attorney general, maybe we've all forgotten about this because, again, we all have selective amnesia.
Yeah.
When Mr. Schimmel was in charge of taxpayer dollars, they're very, very concerned about spending.
Yeah.
government spending. You got to be responsible when you're spending taxpayer dollars, Greg Bach. What did Mr. Schimmel spend $10,000 of our taxpayer money on?
Wasn't it an office makeup?
Like they were commemorative coins.
Oh, the coins!
Commemorative coins.
How did I forget about the coins, Jane?
Brad Schimmel ordered 2,000 coins with the acronym KAED on them, standing for kicking ass every day. The gold-plated brass souvenirs read Wisconsin Attorney General Brad D. Schimmel on one side and Wisconsin Department of Justice KAED on the other. Department of Justice shelled out nearly $10,000 in taxpayer dollars for the two shipments of the commemorative coins to just pass out to folks for grins, I guess.
To get a point across.
Just for grins and giggles.
Now that I know his middle initial is D, I'm going to call him Brad DeShimmel. I forgot about the coins.
I think a lot of folks have forgotten about the coins.
Completely forgot about the coins. Talk about a toxic masculine trait of just like, I gotta have this little memento to
show how tough I am.
To show how tough, to prove to people that a man.
A spokesman for Schimmel at the time responding to this report from Daniel Bice in the Journal Sentinel.
Yeah.
The Republicans love it. Nobody likes Daniel Bice. He picks on everybody.
Yeah.
He does.
Yes.
He's a full service. He's a full service annoyer.
Yeah.
a spokesman for Brad Schimmel at the time about these $10,000 commemorative coins he was passing out to folks.
Wait, was it $10,000 or?
To pay for these coins.
Okay. So it wasn't 10,000 coins.
No, it was 2,000 coins.
That is expensive.
Your story from the spokesman from Brad Schimmel, your story is trivial and not a high priority for our communications shop at the moment. It's all about being fiscally responsible, Greg. Not wasting taxpayer money because they're very, very concerned about money.
Yeah.
Except in this instance, where it's beneath us. It's a triviality.
Jane, you've worked in offices for a long time. You've worked in businesses. You know there's different tiers of business card. You get the regular business card. Mm-hmm. You get a fancy business card. Advantage of an opportunity to get a gold business card, a gold coin business card. Yes, is it more expensive? But it gets the point across because he's kicking A all day long. And that's just what you have to do, apparently, when you're the attorney general of a state. Not governor, not a military guy, but the AG felt the need to have a commemorative coin saying just how much booty he kicks.
$10,000 of our money. So well
spent.
Can
we put that on a board along, like the $2 million to Gableman, $10,000 to Schimmel? I just want a running total.
That'd be a real good idea.
Then take that out of the surplus and give us that money back. I'll take it.
We'll work on that. 855-752-4842. If you would like to join us, you're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the center, WRCE.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay.
Zurvey gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
Earl Ingram.
The Republicans and Donald Trump want to impose tariffs. They say it's going to bring in $2.7 trillion.
That's what they say when they're trying to justify a tax reduction. Those broad tariffs are not good for the average American.
You know, Sandy, I'm not a guy that knows anything about calculus and any of those things, but I do know how to add and subtract. They're adding to the national debt.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. And Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Right before the break, we were talking about the April 1st election. We're going to be back in the polls, at the polls, casting our ballots for either Susan Crawford or Brad Schimmel. For the Wisconsin Supreme Court, this is going to affect the balance on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. It has a liberal majority right now for the first time in about 15 years. That's how we got fairer maps. If we would like to go back to the completely gerrymandered maps, you can vote one way or you can vote the other.
Yep.
And right before the break, we were talking about Brad Schimmel when he was Attorney General of Wisconsin. So responsibly spent $10,000 worth of taxpayer money for these special commemorative coins he handed out to people to show how tough he was. With the slogan KAED on them, which stood for kicking ass every day.
Sounds so weird when you say it.
Made me feel so, you're so strong. Talking about money, big money already in this race. Susan Crawford last week reported raising $2.8 million from individual donors since getting into the race. Schimmel with $2.2 million. Spending by outside groups is expected to far exceed what the candidates spent. And this gets me to the races for the Wisconsin Supreme Court are officially nonpartisan. Can we just get rid of that?
Wink.
Seriously, can we just toss that? Because that's not the case anymore.
No, it's not. I mean, that's the thing is, like, both sides, you have to appeal to your candidates have to appeal to either side. And while Janet Protasiewicz, I would say, was less partisan than Daniel Kelly, another Scott Walker appointee who just thumbs up, baby. The level of partisanship that Daniel Kelly and Brad Schimmel are going to are just so
Mar-a-Lago for heaven's sakes.
Well, that's so Trumpian because they have to lick the boots of our dear leader, or else you'll get nothing.
Yeah.
But I also don't disagree. I also believe that Brad Schimmel endorses this. He's not going home at night taking off his tie going, what am I doing?
No.
He fully believes in the message
and embraces it.
And if you want to, we had on the live stream, someone asked about the coin. I found a picture of it front and back. I'm posting it on our Facebook page right now. So if you want to head over to Facebook, Matt and Air on Air, you can see a picture of the coin. While you're there, follow us.
Yeah, that'd be great.
We'd love to have you here.
Another reminder that we may have forgotten about, because a lot of folks forgot about that 10 grand of our money he spent on those fancy coins. In his first 2 years as Attorney General in Wisconsin, Brad Schimmel tested nine out of over 6,000 untested rape kits.
That's right.
Over 6,000 untested rape kits in his first 2 years. Schimmel tested nine of them, allowing essentially violent offenders to walk free, delaying justice for thousands of victims of sexual assault, including more than 2,000 kids. And Brad Schimmel apparently then falsely claimed that there was no backlog. Mm. These are things to keep in mind, because you're not going to hear about this in some of the ads that are going to be blanketing the airwaves over the next couple of weeks and over the next couple of months.
And also the other thing, too, is like I think what we saw, I want to believe that something we saw with Janet Protasiewicz's campaign is that individuals did put some partisanship aside. She won handily.
She won by a landslide.
To the point where I believe that there were Republicans who voted for it because they want a balanced justice system.
I agree.
And I appeal to those individuals who... What Daniel Kelly brought to the table, Mr. Brad Schimmel saying, hold my go coin, I'll take it even further. We don't need that here in this state. That is too much rhetoric, too much personal opinion, and too much agenda for something as important as the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
And I firmly believe that folks came out for Janet Protasiewicz because they wanted fairer maps, because they want our elected officials to have to, I don't know, respond to the concerns of their constituents instead of being in seats so safe they never have to do anything.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what we've had for more than a decade.
Yeah.
Do we want to go back to that? Do we want to go back to those ultra gerrymandered maps? And again, so when you go to your elected representative and say, hey, there's this thing in my district I want you to do something about, and they're like, yeah, no, I don't have to do that.
I don't even answer the phone.
Yeah. I'm not going to respond to you. I'm not going to call you back. It doesn't matter.
That's something we learned from the candidates running in the past election, since Fair Maps took over. Is the amount of people who, when their door was knocked upon, people would say, you're the first person who's ever come to my door for this. Because the sitting reps did not find it necessary to reach out to the very people that they represent in Robin Voss's favorite thing, a representative democracy.
Yeah.
So I have high hopes for Wisconsin. I really do for April. I know it's another election. It's going to be tough.
People are exhausted.
We're so exhausted. So exhausted.
But this is a very, very important election.
Absolutely.
If we want to keep fairer maps, which I firmly believe makes our elected officials have to be a little more accountable for what they're pulling.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really hope folks, and we're going to be blanketed by so much messaging, and it's going to be very dark and very dark colors. Mm-hmm. Susan Crawford hates you. And everyone in your family.
Susan Crawford wants to prosecute puppies for being too cute. Yeah.
Interesting times we live in, my friends.
Be smarter. You are. Actually, you know what?
We're all smarter.
You're smarter than that. Don't let them insult your intelligence.
And we will talk more about Susan Crawford as well.
Absolutely.
And explain some of her background.
The picture of the coin, which is just chef's kiss ridiculous, is on there, including a link to the article talking about the coins themselves. So head over to Facebook, Matt and Air on Air. Follow us. Check out the picture. Check out the story. And appreciate you.
We have news coming up next when we return an update on the world's worst broccoli cheddar soup ever. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is The Vast, statewide, countrywide, we're global, baby, on the app. Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. With long winters in Wisconsin, it's not uncommon to hibernate and feel down. The American Psychiatric Association says that about 5% of Americans experience a form of depression known as seasonal affective disorder called SAD. People with SAD tend to have feelings of hopelessness and decreased motivation to take part in activities that they usually enjoy. Even those who don't technically meet the threshold for this disorder may see spikes in anxiety and depressive symptoms. In fact, some scientists suggest more than 40% of Americans have these SAD symptoms to some degree in the winter. Our bodies slow down. We tend to stay inside more, which leaves hardly any exposure to sunlight, bringing our bodies lower levels of serotonin, which plays a key role in our moods. So take that walk outside on sunny days, or experts say to invest in light therapy. Using a serotonin bulb is believed to regulate feelings of happiness and anxiety. It's National Blood Donor Month. The American Red Cross urges donors to make an appointment to give life-saving blood or platelets in the new year to help keep the blood supply strong this winter. Type O negative blood donors and those giving platelets are especially urged to give now to keep critical blood products on the shelves for patients in need. The start of the new year is one of the most challenging times to collect blood products as the threat of severe winter weather builds. A blood drive will be held Wednesday from 11:30 to 5:30 at the Richland Center Community Center. Don't sit on the sidelines. Kick off the new year with a blood or platelet donation. To book a time to give, visit redcrossblood.org, download the Red Cross Blood Donor app, or call 1-800-RED-CROSS. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The show must go on. Despite wildfires continuing to burn, production will start up again in Los Angeles. After being put on hold last week, Variety reports that shows like Jimmy Kimmel Live, NCIS Origins, and The Neighborhood will resume production. Other shows like Hacks, Suits LA, Ted, and Amazon's Fallout have not resumed production after being affected last week. Hollywood continues to rally around the victims of the LA fires. The latest organization to donate money is the Screen Actors Guild and American Federation of TV and Radio Artists. SAG-AFTRA had closed its offices due to the fires, which started January 7th. The union also postponed its in-person award nominating ceremony. SAG-AFTRA president, actress Fran Drescher, offered support to victims and those who have lost their homes and announced her union would donate $1 million to victims through the SAG-AFTRA Foundation. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Super sunny but feeling frigid cold. High temperatures will reach the mid-teens, but with feisty winds out of the northwest gusting up to 15 miles per hour, it's really going to be feeling like highs closer to 5 below. We've got another cold night on tap tonight before a warm-up starts tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 5 degrees.
The Todd Alba Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates. You see how simple that is? There's a vote, you certify the results, democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win, but that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
it? No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again? Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, we go overtime with Maggie Dawn as the national media landscape continues to evolve. Plus, when insurance companies go broke, who pays? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Mm-hmm.
serious music for a very, very serious topic.
Jane, show some respect.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane, Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Caliente on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. The number to call or text is the same. It's 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you like to watch on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, as we always do. Today it is the Lego edition.
Yay! Unless it's bad.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, email it to me at Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. We talked about this yesterday at the same time. I was out to dinner with a good friend on Friday night, went to a little restaurant in River West, and I was served the worst broccoli cheese soup potentially on the face of the planet. It had no discernible flavor, no broccoli flavor, no cheese flavor.
Give us a consistency update again.
Of broth.
Broth.
It was like broth.
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 Broccoli cheese soup should be nice and thick.
Mm-hmm. Creamy.
You know, creamy and
chunky.
Yes. There's nice pieces of chunks of broccoli in there. I love broccoli cheese soup. So anyway, we were talking about whether or not you send food back at restaurants. Because I've never done that. It makes me, I feel badly. And then we took a lot of calls.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of comments. And everybody said, you should send it back because the chef wants to know.
Yes.
The chef would want to know if you enjoyed this, and if you didn't, they can't fix it if they don't know that it's bad.
Yes, I completely agree with that.
So yesterday when I got home, and I don't know if this was passive aggressive or not, because they don't open until 5, so I got home about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I called and left a message.
Yeah. No, that's not passive aggressive. That's cowardly.
I know. Because it's like, well, I'm just going to call and leave a message. And so I said, hi, I wasn't going to do this, but I heard from a lot of friends who said that the chef would want to know. And so I wanted to tell you that the broccoli cheese soup I had on Friday night was the worst broccoli cheese soup I've ever had. I'm sorry to have to tell you that, but I think you should know. Thank you. Have a good day. So I posted about this on Blue Sky yesterday. Because now I feel guilty about complaining. So is it a Wisconsin thing or do I need therapy? Is this a cry for therapy?
Can I say yes? I think honestly, I don't want to suck the fun out of it, but I think it's a combination of all these different things. One, we are Wisconsinites. We don't want to make a bother.
Don't like to complain.
I think that women are raised to not be a bother.
I think you're right.
Maybe it's
also a generational thing.
Yeah, but I see. But let's face it. When it comes to generational, I see people of a certain generation, boomers and older, they get quite lippy, and I see it on the internet all the time. So they don't hold back because they also feel like there's a certain amount of agency they have. They've earned the ability to get there are people out there who would take the soup and throw it on the ground. It's like, I'm 65. I can do what I want. I voted for Nixon.
Don't do that.
But my point is I think it's a combination of being Wisconsinite, being a good person. Like, you don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, and I don't think you would be. A chef, if a chef's feelings were hurt.
If they're that sensitive.
Yeah, they might be like, oh, that sucks. But then the next thought should be, how do we make it better? Or maybe they missed the point of the soup. Maybe it's a deconstruction of the broccoli cheddar.
Well, and I thought about that. It's like, is this some magical gluten-free, broccoli-free, cheese-free broccoli cheese soup that I'm just not appreciating because my palate is not elevated enough, which could be. I don't have a very sophisticated palate.
Neither do I. I do not. I don't think you should feel bad. I think that, honestly, if you lodge the complaint, I'd go there again sooner than later.
Really?
And order it. And if it's not good, then send it back and be like, this wasn't my jam. Can I get something in its place? But see if your advice.
What if they don't?
Then they don't and you move on. But you've done everything you could do.
I did my part.
You did your part. And you did it in a way that wasn't, you didn't humiliate anybody. You didn't try to make, you didn't make it all about you. You didn't try to make yourself internet famous by doing it.
Well, and I'm not trying to bet. I mean, I don't, that's why I purposely have not said the name of this restaurant. This was just my one experience.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they have lovely other things. It was very busy. And, you know, so I don't want to get them in trouble. It wasn't good.
But that's my point. You're a good person. And it's way.
I have my moment.
Knock it off.
Thank you.
It weighed up on you. We've talked about it. I think the next step is to go back to the restaurant, order the same soup, and don't say anything other than that. Order it. If you don't like it, send it, and then send it back.
And then they're going to know it was me.
No, they're oh, my God. Sheesh.
And then they're going to spit in it before they bring it out.
This was a foolhardy exercise.
855-752-4842.
Have you ever gotten bad food and not sent it back and then waited till the next day and called them before they open? Let us know.
Am I the only one who does this? Is this a Wisconsin thing? Do we feel badly about complaining?
No, I know Wisconsinites who complain. I complain all the time. I feel like part of my pay package here at Civic Media is I'm paid to complain from 2 to 4 hours a day.
Got a point there.
Thank you.
855-752-4842. What experiences have you had at restaurants? What have you sent back? And what was their reaction when you sent it back? I'm genuinely curious.
Yeah.
Did the chef come out and say, thank you? I needed to know this. I will change my ways. I will chop more roughly.
I will remind the folks of my story from yesterday where I went to a breakfast place and I found beard hairs in my, not just like two beard hairs.
That's so revolting.
I mean, like you put your fingers in your beard and you just scritch back and forth. Ugh. And the guy literally said to me, so do you want a new one? That was his response to me saying, I have enough to shut this building down right here in front of me.
Seriously. This seems like a health code violation.
Yeah.
PJ in the live stream, try the Quick Trip broccoli cheese soup. It's not bad, LOL.
Honestly, like Quick Trip, I'm not endorsed by them. And we have different.
But you'd like to be.
We have different political leanings, but their food is so good.
Really?
Yes, it really is.
Because I've tried a couple different things. Good.
What
Calvin's
going
to join in this. I've tried various versions of the chicken sandwich.
Okay, well, all right. Calvin, what is your jam there?
It's a chicken-like substance.
All chicken sandwiches are a chicken-like substance. What are you talking? You're telling me, well, McDonald's, well, they really know what they're doing. Calvin?
I used to be a big fan of Quick Trip food, and it's, I don't know if it's because I ate it too much or if it's deteriorated, but it's lost me. I think for gas station food, they're not as, you can't find them everywhere, but Casey's has much better food.
Oh, I've never even heard of them.
So for me, when I go to the Quick Trip, the thing is, like, when I go in there, my expectations aren't for a 5-star Michelin.
No, but of course not.
Their breakfast sandwiches, I think, are fantastic. They got a good pizza, but the thick crust. Don't get the thin crust.
All right.
The pizza's very good. And I've had various other things, too. Their mozzarella sticks are fun. And they have a great breakfast burrito. I think their burritos are just good. They're just tasty.
Quick Trip, you should call him.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, he's here for you.
I mean, I'm down for it. I'll get paid. As we found out when we were talking to Jimmy Koska, Greg Bach has a price.
Keep him in breakfast burritos, man. I think you'd be good.
Oh yeah, I'd be great.
Right?
Yeah.
855-752-4842. We're talking about sending food back if you've been at a restaurant. Is this something we should do more of?
Yeah. Yeah. If you're paying money, yes.
Carol from Madison is on the line. Good morning, Carol. Thanks so much for joining us. What does she want to say about this?
Hi, Jane. You have typical Wisconsin guilt.
Thank you.
And it has a lot to do with our upbringing of being Wisconsin nice. It also has to do with our religious beliefs and what we should do. There's a whole lot of shoulds that are wrapped up in it. But you are doing a service to the restaurant if you're letting them know that this is not a good soup. There are a lot of people who would go there and never go back.
Right.
And if you don't tell them that you were disappointed with something, then they don't know.
Yeah.
And so you're helping them improve their business.
Thank you, Carol. I feel slightly better about that.
I told you this yesterday.
But now Carol is telling me that.
Man, you no longer get my advice, my counsel, or my advocacy. I hope you get nothing but terrible soup for the rest of your life.
You know what, Carol? It's interesting that you bring up the religious component, though, because I do think that plays a part in it. I was raised Catholic. My parents were very Catholic, and guilt was a big part of that. I used to feel guilty about roadkill I didn't hit because I drive a car.
Yeah, I still feel
it's guilt by association, right, Carol?
Absolutely. I have a friend who's Catholic, and she's been struggling with guilt since I have known her, and this is like 30 years. And I say there's this little person sitting on your shoulder. Would you just kind of flick it off?
Just a dink.
And just pass the guilt thing?
Too late. Too late.
Thank you so much, Carol. I really appreciate it. Have a great day.
It's absolutely baked. I'm not a Catholic. I haven't been one for a long time, but I don't think I have Catholic guilt. I just have guilt of making people feel bad. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want someone to be upset with me.
I don't want to upset you.
Yeah. I don't want to be the source of your bad time.
Well, and again, your my imagination takes it into 4,000 different ways. And it's like,
oh, I know.
I can envision, you know, if I had sent it back and then I could hear all the made up conversations they're having in the kitchen. Oh, did you see that woman out there? She sent the broccoli cheese soup back and she said she didn't like it. It was the worst she ever had. And me. That's active imagination.
No, that's a lot of projection. I think you need to, that's projecting.
That's why I said, is this a Wisconsin thing or is it a cry for therapy?
I think it's a cry for therapy. I think it's a cry for therapy. And also Wisconsin thing. I think it's all, it's a religious, I think it's all of those things. And also coupled with the fact that you are just a good person as well.
I appreciate that.
A decent moral person is going to be like, I don't need it. Like also in the grand scheme of life, you don't want to be like, this soup is nothing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, my not enjoying this soup is nothing in the world.
Well, right. It is a very minor, minuscule thing. And my life is really good. I have very little to complain about.
But did you pay for the soup?
Yes. So actually, it was my friend paid for it because she took me off.
Point is, there was a social contract that was entered between your friend and the restaurant that you provided good service and good food. And one of those things was not met. So therefore, you have every right to be unhappy and speak up.
Well, now I'll have to. I promise I will go back.
Please.
I promise I will go back. We'll give it another try. If I have to send it back again, we're talking about this again.
Great. Part three. This is Dear WBA, continuing coverage.
A couple texts coming in. Someone listening in Madison on WMDX. Try the chicken filet sandwich at Quick Trip. I've tried a couple of their chickens.
We need to do, Calvin, is we need to take the Civic Media credit card, go to Quick Trip, we'll go to Casey's too, and we'll just buy a bunch of stuff, and we'll have a taste test.
Oh, I like that.
Yes. Yeah.
Tom from Jackson, listening on WBCH. Jane, it's a Wisconsin thing, feeling guilty when you should not feel guilty. And Luann from Wanderos says, the reason Wanderos. The waiter asks is everything is okay, is if it's not, they can fix it. You're absolutely right.
Yep.
Although that waitress, she was kind of scary.
You allowed yourself to be scared by a waitress. She's probably like one-third your age and stressing out.
Maybe.
There you go.
All right, nice. I'm going to go back.
She might even be like, you know what? I hate it too. It's the worst soup I've ever had in my life.
All right, I'll do a return trip. We'll try it again.
And we're going to outfit you with a camera and glasses.
Undercover?
Like, yeah, totally. We'll be in a van. Me and Calvin be in like a plumbing van.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
We'll do a movie.
Yeah.
Coming up, we will wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing Lego Edition. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, covering the biting topics of today on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
They produced yacht rock hits that defined an era. It's Ambrosia.
Your biggest part of me.
With special guest John Ford Coley. October 12th at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Tickets on sale now through Ticketmaster. Soft rock that rocked the yacht. It's Ambrosia and John Ford Coley. October 12th at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Must be 21 to attend concert.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Donald Trump's inaugural committee has received $170 million in contributions, and it's expected to reach $200 million, almost double his 2017 total. Yes, the contributions pay for inaugural balls, but inaugural funds are also a vehicle for corporate pay-to-play contributions, currying favor for federal contracts, lenient legislation, or access to the president. The Associated Press reported January 9th that the totals were far beyond President Trump's $107 million in 2017 and President Biden's $62 million in 2021. The Federal Election Commission oversees inaugural contributions, and any donation of $200 or more must be reported. But 90 days after the contribution is made and long after the spotlight is gone. There are no individual or corporate contribution limits, and only foreign nationals are barred from donating. Among the known 2024 inaugural donors, Amazon, Meta, OpenAI, Toyota, Ford, General Motors, and Boeing all made public statements when they donated $1 million each. Energy company Chevron said in a statement to Reuters, "Chevron has a long tradition of celebrating democracy by supporting the inaugural committees of both parties." Or perhaps they're sending a message to someone. We have more on the pay-to-play history of inaugurations at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Caliente on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You know this because you've probably been outside. It's very cold. And just a reminder, keep an eye on your pets.
It's 8 degrees outside.
It's 8 degrees. The wind chills are, and these are only, 25, 30 mile an hour wind gusts?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's chilly. Keep an eye on your pets. Don't leave them out there too long unless, apparently, if you have a husky. Have you seen some of the videos of huskies on Instagram? And they show up on my Twitter feed all the time. People having actual arguments with their huskies who will not come inside.
My mother-in-law, their neighbor has a husky, a big, Jack London-type husky. Like, this is built for speed.
Right.
Every time I go to her house, that husky isn't just sitting on the patio furniture, it's lounging on the patio furniture like, "Sup? How you doing? You want to come join me?
I'm having a good day.
In this icy hellscape? Come on." Yeah.
But they're so vocal, it's hilarious. You can, if you're looking for a laugh, go to Instagram, go to TikTok, and just put in husky.
Husky scream.
Huskies arguing.
Yeah.
And because they actually argue with their owners, it's hilarious. But my whole point was, keep an eye on your pets. Yeah. In this very cold weather, dogs can take it up to a certain point, but at some point too, their pads can get frostbite.
Frostbite, they can crack under the salt can get trapped in there.
So just be careful.
Yeah,
just be careful. Calvin, it's 11:53. That means it is time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Today's Tisbets is the Lego edition.
Ooh,
a shark caught in the net of a fisherman isn't anything new, but when it's the first Lego shark found since a cargo ship lost its load of almost 5 million Lego pieces at sea 27 years ago, it tends to make waves. The BBC reporting a couple of weeks ago, hundreds of pieces from the Tokyo Express cargo ship have been recovered this year. In 1997, this ship was hit by an unexpected wave and lost 62 shipping containers about 20 miles off of England. Since then, the BBC reporting that Lego pieces have been washing ashore in southwestern England, the Channel Islands, Wales, Ireland, the Netherlands, and Norway. But the shark, found in August of this year by a fisherman in Plymouth, England, was the first of the 22,000 dark gray and 29,000 light gray Lego sharks that were lost in this incident at sea.
Anyone who knows Lego right now is thinking to yourself, I wonder how much those are worth. I wonder where I can find them.
Well, if you can get a little rescue operation going, they believe there are probably still some 50,000 plus Lego lying on the seabed of the ocean.
James Cameron, I'm calling to you, James Cameron.
He's got the stuff.
Yeah, he does.
He's got the equipment. Some are making their way ashore. Others are heading into deeper waters. The sharks also sink. These Lego sharks are among the few Lego pieces that sink. And therefore, that's why so few of them have been found.
You see, Jane, I have an app on my phone where I can take my phone and look at a pile of Lego and it will tell me what I can build. I need to get it on a boat. I need to get on a submersible. Can we take the Civic Media credit card? This is all above board.
Sure.
And then I will find these Lego. We will talk about it.
Well, we'll make it a segment.
And we'll build it while eating broccoli cheese soup. That's amazing.
That comes from the Delafield Brewhouse because their soup is really good.
The beer cheese soup. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my gosh. Now I'm hungry.
Yeah, that's kind of unfortunate. But they're finding them one at a time. But still, knowing that there are 50,000 pieces, still unaccounted Lego floating around in the ocean somewhere, that definitely should not. It should not.
They should be in my house.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up on the show tomorrow, Lisa Schiller is going to be here from the Better Business Bureau. I got a voicemail last week, ostensibly from the IRS.
Yeah.
Telling me that the IRS has forgiven all tax debt. That kind of jumped out at me.
I mean, thanks, Trump.
As not sounding particularly legitimate.
No.
And Lisa Schiller with the Better Business Bureau, she knows all the scams that can be scammed.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about scams to look out for. What are the newest ones? What are the latest ones? And whether or not I don't have to worry about paying any taxes because I got this completely legitimate voice message.
You're totally forgiven. Just call this number with your credit card.
No, it's perfectly legitimate. I am absolutely sure. A little bit later on this week, on Friday, we have a last minute big meeting.
Oh, yes.
So we're going to do a specially curated show for you on Friday with some new content in the first hour, and then we're actually going to replay the second hour of yesterday when we had our debut for 2025 of Beyond the Cheese.
Yes.
With Steven Aronson from Wisconsin Knitwear. Mm-hmm. Great conversation with him.
Maybe I can put together the broccoli cheese, broccoli cheddar saga.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That'd be fun. We'll see.
Parts one and two. That's coming up again. Lisa Schiller tomorrow from the Better Business Bureau will be joining us. News coming up next. Stay close. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers. Without you guys, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. Stay here on the vast, statewide, countrywide, global on the app, Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Earl Ingram.
There may be lead contamination at your children's school. On the next show, we'll discuss the latest statement from Milwaukee Public Schools with Black and the campaign for lead-free water.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. One of President-elect Trump's most controversial nominees, Pete Hegseth, in the hot seat today at a Senate confirmation hearing to become defense secretary.
Punctuated by protests, the hearing began with the top Democrat on the Senate Armed Services Committee casting Pete Hegseth as a man who has mismanaged the veteran service organizations he's run and who's called Democrats his foes. Rhode Island's Jack Reed said the Secretary of Defense should remove politics from the military.
You propose to inject it.
For his part, Hegseth vowed to run an apolitical military with a restored warrior ethos.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. The fire threat returning to Southern California with fierce Santa Ana winds and hurricane-force gusts expected today into tomorrow. And a judge has ruled the New Orleans Police Department can begin winding down its longstanding federal monitoring program with the Justice Department, saying the agency has transformed itself into becoming more accountable after evidence of racial bias and misconduct. This is ABC News.